Who am I? That's the question that the Discover the Word group is reflecting on this week, and there are a lot of ways to answer that question. As the group noted yesterday, how you answer that question depends a lot on the context. You know, family, work, where you're from, what you're good at, what you enjoy, what team is your favorite. You know, a lot of things factor into how you answer the question, who am I? Well, in our conversations this week, Elise is pointing us to five things that Scripture says about you that would be good answers to the question, who am I? And they're all in the context of the statement, I am who I am because of who God is. And today's kind of has to do with what team you're part of. Discover another good way to answer the question, who am I? Next. And this is Discover the Word, the small group Bible study from Our Daily Bread Ministries. And this week you're studying with Elisa Morgan, Bill Crowder, Daniel Ryan Day, and Rasul Berry as Elisa leads us through these five observations that Scripture speaks into the question, who am I? And as I said, they're all building off of the premise that I am who I am because of who God is. Now, yesterday, we discovered that we are who we are because we are image bearers of our Creator, which means how we think about ourselves and how we think about others is affected. Now, today, Elise is going to point us to a number of passages of Scripture that help us understand that we are what she calls co-laborers. We're part of a team, in a sense. And who is on our team and what we contribute to the team are important parts of this observation. So let's pull our chairs up to the table and get started.
I'm just going to dive right in with this question. We've had Carolyn Custis James on Discover the Word many times, and she has really shaped my thinking about men and women, especially in creation, mm-hmm. by the work that she's done, especially in the first three chapters of Genesis, but, you know, throughout Scripture. And she defined three things specifically about us, that we're image bearers, that we're put into a blessed alliance where men and women work together to accomplish God's purposes. And then another word she used, anybody remember it?
Co-laborers.
Yeah. What did she mean by that term?
Wasn't it kind of tied to the blessed alliance idea that men and women best represent God when they're in this alliance, when they're working together toward ruling creation with the same love and grace and compassion that God has. And when they do that together, that represents the image of God in as full of a way as we can.
Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to express it, isn't it? But God himself is three in one. Mm-hmm. And when we think about that, that we're made in his image, as we just talked about, as image bearers, it's interesting to think that he made us to be in relationship with him, but also with each other. Mm-hmm. In Genesis 1, that's where he talks about this creation, and then this rulership, which implies labor, work that's going to be done together. But I'd like us to look for a minute at Genesis 2 and look at this co-laboring element, because it's really folded into the text. Can we go around and read Genesis 2 verses 15 to 25? It's kind of long, so let's break it up and read it together. And let's just kind of move through it quickly, okay? Would you start us, Bill?
Okay. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die.
So there's labor growing up. Okay, verse 18, Daniel.
The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.
Okay, pause for a second. That word helper, I remember Carolyn teaching us that it's a Hebrew word. Do you know what it is, Russell?
Yes, azer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I always remember it because it rhymes with razor. So azer, and that word means what?
Like warrior.
Yeah. We read this, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable. But really the word means warrior. And as I recall, most of the time in the Old Testament, it's used of God being a warrior for Israel. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going here. Verse 19, I'm just going to kind of summarize that. This is where everything is named. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 20, pick it up at the but, Daniel.
But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man.
And what did the man say, Russell?
The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man."
It's a powerful thought as we define ourselves. You know, who am I because of who God is? There's a powerful phrase here. I am helper. I am co-laborer, whether you're man or woman. So this is actually said about the woman. So what are the implications then about a man's identity?
Well, first thing that it lets you know is that he needed help, or else God wouldn't have provided a warrior to come by his side. A word that I've heard used many times, which is a little bit different from co-laborer, but it kind of captures the idea in a sense, is the word co-regent. That Adam and Eve were made co-regents to rule together over the creation God had made.
Regent isn't a very familiar word either, Bill. So, I mean, I think about universities or something. Mm. I guess I think about the British monarchy too. But what is that to do with rulership?
Yeah, a regent is somebody who rules. And a co-regent is not someone who rules under someone else, but who rules with someone else.
Okay, that's super helpful.
And I think some of this plays off of even what is meant when God says something isn't good. Because typically when we think of something not good, we think of it like morally wrong or ethically wrong. But that phrase really is just saying that something's still incomplete in God's creation.
That's good. Yeah.
And so the incompleteness is that the man is alone and there's no suitable helper that he needs to be found. And so God does this final act of creation to complete creation.
Yeah, and I tried to put a little bit of oomph into the response because I imagine that was, I mean, the brother broke out in a song. And,
yeah,
you know,
first love song, yeah.
I think there was like a involved with his enthusiasm for seeing that God had provided him a partner, a companion.
That was so good, Rasul. Yeah,
could you sing it for us, Rasul, how that song went?
So take this concept of both man and woman created in God's image as co-laborers, as incomplete alone, but complete together in expressing who God is, and bring that into the New Testament and how perhaps Paul expresses it. And I'm thinking about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, how Paul describes us. Bill, do you have that?
Yeah. Ephesians 2, verse 10, and I think it's important, Elisa, the context leading up to it is how salvation is all by grace of what God does for us. And we usually stop after verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But then, in a sense, he almost corrects our thinking before we have a chance to think wrongly. Well, if it's not of works, I don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. In verse 10, he says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do."
You know, and that is so rich. I'm so glad you brought that out. The contrast between grace and works screams out of that passage. Why can we not earn salvation through our works? Because we're incomplete. Because we can't do it in our own. Because we're fallible, right? But God saves us by grace so that we can do the good works he created us to do. There's this beautiful union of God's grace with our works that make them complete and pleasing to him. Mm. Just like there's a beautiful union of man and woman as co-laborers that were incomplete by themselves, but are complete when they are working together in relationship with God.
Yeah, I think there's a parallel in the Genesis account and here in Ephesians, because it's very clear that God gave Adam first and then Eve everything that they had, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so everything was essentially a grace gift from God. Mm-hmm. And then in Ephesians 2, as Bill mentioned, the context for this verse 10 about work is all about, for it is by grace you have been saved, you know, through faith, not of yourselves. Mm-hmm. It's the gift of God. So then again, you have another aspect of gift, but this gift is even more profound and dynamic than anything else because it's covering sin. It's drawing us into relationship. It's this grace that God has given us. And so in the same way that Adam sang when he got the gift of Eve, like we work as a response to the gift that God has given us, not to earn it, but because it's already been given.
That's really good, Rasul. I think also maybe the key word to me that connects Ephesians 2 back to Genesis 2 is the word we. We've talked about it a lot on the program, but when we as Western people in the United States, when we read the Bible, we tend to, in our heads, kind of transpose all the plural pronouns to singular pronouns. It's not for I was God's handiwork, although it's true that I was. The emphasis is for we together are God's handiwork. Just like the man and the woman together were able to do God's work, we together as the body of Christ and in relationship with one another are able to do the work.
Yeah, for sure.
That word handiwork really means doing. It's God's doing. It's God's creation. It's his end product. It's his power at work in us. And that's incredibly empowering, isn't it? You know, how does this understanding that I am co-labor because God has made me, because he's the equipper, how does that affect us in our everyday? I mean, I constantly going, well, I can't do this, Lord. You asked me to, you know, I'm not equipped. But how does understanding my identity as I'm a co-laborer because he's the equipper, how does that shape me and change me?
To me, that's huge. Ephesians 2:10 is like my life verse. And so
is
I think
really
about the implications. Like there's another passage, 1 Peter, where it talks about that he has made us partakers of the divine nature through which we can escape the lust and the world. I mean, that's a crazy thought, like partakers of divine nature. Like God is saying, hey, how about we work together and partner together to be about this work of redemption? What, me? Who, me? Like I get to be a partner with God. And that aspect of handiwork in the Greek is poema, which is where we get the word poem from. We're literally like his poem. And I think about what that means in terms of how I see myself and what I should be doing, therefore, with my time and with my life. It should be done in a way where I'm trying to give glory to the one who, you know, who made me, because that's what he made me for.
And I think about it in really practical terms, too, how quickly we move from feeling okay about things and working hard to feeling stressed and overwhelmed and anxious. And typically one of the symptoms or causes of anxiousness and stress and worry is when we start trying to put too much on ourselves and trying to do it on our own, or when we think that we have to accomplish something without help or whatever. So on a very practical level, the encouragement I hear in this is that, hey, when you're stressed out and anxious, take a step back, because you're probably trying to carry this by yourself. And the good news here is that you're a co-laborer. It's not all about you and what you can do, because God's with you. And not only is he with you, but he's surrounded you with others who are with you to do this work together.
That was one of the toughest lessons for me to learn when I was a pastor, that the job of the pastor is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, not to do the ministry. And it just, like Rasul was saying about Ephesians 2 verse 10, that Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 text where Paul talks about that, to me was one of the most liberating things I ever learned when I was young in ministry.
I hope we are liberated, empowered, freed by this concept that I am a co-laborer, because God is the equipper, and he made me to be in relationship with himself and with others to accomplish his kingdom purposes.
Yeah, that is a great observation and another perspective from Scripture on how we can answer the question, who am I, taking into consideration that I am who I am because of who God is. I am a co-laborer. I'm not in this alone. I'm part of a team. I'm a co-laborer because God is equipper. You're listening to Discover the Word with Lisa Morgan, Bill Crowder, Daniel Ryan Day, and Rasul Berry. And this week, the Discover the Word team is taking a closer look at who God is to help us answer the question, who am I? And as Elisa leads the group in our study this week, I'd like to draw your attention to another resource from Our Daily Bread Ministries, a podcast that Elisa is part of, designed for women, called God Hears Her. Join Elisa and co-host Aaron Eddy as they share stories of how God shows up in the everyday and the unusual events in life to help you mature in your faith. They have great guests join them as well to tell their stories and share what God has equipped them to do and opportunities that they've been given. And they also have a lot of fun in the process. So they're in season 6 of the God Hears Her podcast. First episode in the new season just dropped this week. And later on in this season, they have a really special 100th episode planned that you'll want to be part of. Well, you can find God Hears Her wherever you get your podcasts. Well, we hope these conversations on Discover the Word are helping you to grow, and it's thanks to the financial support from listeners just like you that this small group Bible study is available free for anyone to listen to. But of course, while it is free to listen to, producing and distributing these daily studies does come at a rather large expense. And so your gift today, no matter the size, will help continue to make the life-changing story and wisdom of the Bible available to people all around the world. You can donate online at discovertheword.org. Click on the Donate tab. Well, I'm Brian Hedinga, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when Elisa and Bill and Daniel and Rasul will reveal what it means when we read that God is love and how much He loves you. And that leads into another way you can answer the question, who am I? And that's coming up Wednesday right here on Discover the Word. Discover the Word is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.